Bill got the memo on the tire. Glad to see that. All right. If you open your Bibles to Psalm 127, I want to read verse 3 just as a reminder. Glad to see each and every one of you here. We do give God the glory. So we were talking about children, and I will read Psalm 127 and verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. And let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for your mercy and your grace. We thank you for the children you've given to us. We pray that we'll be good parents and guide them and direct them according to your will. And Lord, may you bless each and every member here this morning. We thank you that they made it out this morning. Protect us from the COVID plague and have mercy upon our nation and our leaders. And bless our church, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, not going to talk about cows this morning. So, we're just going to talk about children. And hopefully, I was able to establish from the scriptures that children come from the Lord, and they are a gift from God, and therefore, that it behooves us to recognize that gift and behave responsibly with our children. There is a tremendous responsibility that God has given to us in that He has given children to us. And I would like to look at a few verses this morning and just talk about them and see how they apply. I don't know how long this study is going to go. I'm going to go through the study as long as I got something to say. And then after that, we'll just shut her off and let somebody else speak. Look in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 6. I'm going to give quite a few verses this morning. I hope you have your Bibles with you. This will be a Bible study. It says in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 6, and if you really want to learn about how to deal with children, I highly recommend the book of Proverbs. Solomon, although practically he may have had his shortcomings and failings, he was a wise man and the Lord did give him wisdom. And he wrote a lot of that wisdom down in the Proverbs, so they're well worth reading. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. So there is something to be said about the fact that children do, they bring blessings to God, but they bring blessings to us as well. And if we raise our children right, normally they will be a blessing to us. And there's something about this heritage. Somebody said we're one generation away from atheism. Well, that's very true because you and I as parents, we have a responsibility to teach our children the words of God, to teach them about God, and that they might be blessed of God. And I'd like to say that I'm going to try to prove this morning that the beginning of training children or teaching children really begins with us. Because if we don't mold our lives and obey the scriptures, that's going to have an influence on our children. So if you want to be a good parent, then you be a good child of God. And if you're a good child of God, more than likely you're going to be a good parent. But if you're not a good child of God, if you yourself are rebellious, and you yourself refuse to hear the words of the Lord, and you yourself refuse to obey, if you don't submit to God, the likelihood that your children will submit to you is null to void. So we need to consider these things. But children's children are the crown of old men. We need to think about the long vision and not short term. I think one of the problems with our politicians, especially on one side of the one party, especially, well, really both parties, all parties, is the problem they don't have a long vision. They're not thinking what are the consequences going to be. They have a great idea about windmills. Wouldn't that be a great idea to have a windmill that will save energy? But they forget about the effects on the ecosystem. They forget about the costs that are associated with that. A lot of that material, it takes gasoline, it takes oil in order to make and maintain them. So they're not thinking about other consequences. And you and I as parents, we need to have a longer vision instead of just the here and now. We need to think about the here and now, but we also need to remember about tomorrow and the consequences. How is this going to affect not only our children, but how is it going to affect our grandchildren? Yeah. And so let's look at a few verses. Proverbs 31 and 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also and praiseth her. So this is the after effects of raising children properly. If you raise your children properly, there's going to be some benefits. Your children are going to recognize it. And they're going to tell other people, yes, she's blessed. Yes, she was a good mother. Yes, she was a good wife. They are going to be witnesses to that fact. And we see this throughout the scriptures. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7. The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. And this is to the point that I was making, that if we don't walk in integrity, our children probably are not going to walk in integrity. If you're a drunkard, your probability that your children will be drunkard. Now, there's always exceptions to the rule, but these are based on historical facts of what happens in people's lives. If your daddy's a thief, you're probably going to be a thief. If your mama's dishonest, you're probably going to be dishonest. They have influence. We have influence on our children. And our children are always watching us. Yeah? So if they see you behave one way on Sunday morning at church and then another way at home after church, they are observing what's going on. And then all this teaching can come to naught because our life doesn't match what we tell our children. We tell our children not to lie, but then do we lie? Or do we send our children to the door and say, tell them I'm not here because we don't want to deal with the issue? Or when the children pick up the phone, do we teach our children to lie and say, tell them mommy's not here, or tell them that daddy's not here, you know, basically because they don't want to deal with it. So what are we doing? We're teaching our children to lie. We tell them in Sunday school, thou shalt not lie, but then we turn around and lie at home. This has an effect on our children. So we need to really work on our lives, and then that will have an influence on our children's lives. And if you don't have your house in order, the probability of that having an effect on your children is high. I'm going to give you some examples here in a little bit, just a little bit, but I want to continue with some verses. The influence of the parents upon the children. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 14, it says, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband, else were your children unclean, but now they are holy. Whatever your interpretation on this, you will have to acknowledge that parents have an influence on their children. The fact that God is blessing you spills out upon your children. And if God is cursing you, then that's going to spill out on your children. Noah did well to build an ark. It had influence on his children. Does that make sense to you? I think the problem that we have in our child rearing is we forget that it begins with us, the parents. Amen. That we have to get in submission to God. We have to be walking holy and separated. We have to be honoring God in the things that we do. So that will have a carryover effect in our children. There is no ABC plan for raising children. We have to follow the scriptures. We have to understand that this is a spiritual process. God has given these children. We have to be responsible for them by living for God. You know, doing all that we can for God. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 25. Listen to this cry. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Their actions had influence on their children. Their denial of Christ had an effect on their children. And you as a believer, by believing, you're giving your children a much better chance of knowing the Lord than had they been born in a home without the gospel. So these all have effects. Look in Exodus chapter 24. And verse 6, and the Lord passed by before him, this is talking about Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. Now, we know a little bit about DNA being passed down to our children. Yeah, this is common knowledge now. Sin has a way to be passed down to our children. The effects of sin, especially. When Adam sinned, he cast all of humankind, all of mankind into sin. And our children are sinners because of our father, Adam, fell into sin. There is an effect, and God himself acknowledges this, that iniquity will follow onto the children's children. Be careful how you behave. It will have an influence. Do you remember Hezekiah? Now I'm going to give you a few examples. Hezekiah is one. I'll give a couple others. Remember Laban? Laban made a choice. He wanted to go after the money. And by chasing after the money, he lost the money and his kids. Yeah? How about Pharaoh? Pharaoh made some decisions. Not very wise. He lost his firstborn because of it. He lost the whole nation as well because of his decisions. How about these Jews here crying out, crucify him, crucify him. Yeah? Let his blood be on us and on our children. We have to think of the consequences of our actions and how they will influence our children. One great reason why you should never get divorced is because it has tremendous influence on our children. Children without both parents in a home are unruly and has an effect. They need a father and they need a mother and they need them to be in the home. And so divorce itself, and I'm not picking on anybody here, this divorce, I feel for you. Yeah. But you must recognize, even if you are divorced, you must recognize that it does have influence on the children. It affects them. I know personally, from my own personal experience, it affected me. I was not overt rebellious when my father was still in a home. But as soon as he is out of the home, and then I was left to myself, I became very rebellious. And many children do that because they don't have the influence of the father and the mother in the home. God's intent was one father, one mother, and children. That was God's intent. And when we get away from God's intent, then we have problems. All right? Can we deal? Can there be mercy? Can there be grace showed to those that have been divorced? Yes, of course. We're going to deal with you where you're at. But that does not justify the divorce. That was not God's intent. We have to recognize the error of our way and do our best to ever be correcting. Always adjusting our compass to keep the heading north, to keep the heading on the will of God and following Christ. Yeah? So, yes, we can show mercy, we can show compassion in situations that befall us, yeah? And we can rise again and overcome and do the best we can in the situation. But let's keep to the mark. If you aim low, you'll hit low. So let's aim high so that we might hit high. And the goal for us is perfection. We might not reach it, but that's the goal. All right? And so here's a few examples. 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 16. Here's Hezekiah. Really a good king. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Good advice. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord, and thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? Now there's some things in here I'd like to discuss. First of all, note that Hezekiah's fathers had laid up in store all the way to his generation. Do you remember what I said in the very beginning? We need to think about past our generation. We need to get the long view. We need to think about the coming generations, how that's going to play an effect. We have an opportunity to influence the next generations. And we need to be cognizant of this. We need to be aware of this in the actions that we take today, because it can have influence on future generations, as we see in Hezekiah's case. Then notice what Hezekiah says. Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. That's true, but listen to his reasoning. It is good if peace and truth be in my days. I don't know how you take that. As a question, is it good if peace and truth be in my days? I'd like to say that we need to be careful that we just don't only think about ourselves. Amen. What's good for me? What's easiest for me? We cannot always take the easy way out. Sometimes the right road is the most difficult road. In fact, many times the most difficult road is the right road. Yeah. You know, there's a problem in our generation. We're all selfish. Did you ever notice that? Did you notice the first person you think about when you get up in the morning is self? And the last person you think about when you go to bed at night is self? Did you have that? Do you have that tendency? We don't think about others, even though we're commanded to love God with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul and our neighbors as ourselves. And then it has an influence in our families, because we're selfish. And God help us when we only think about ourselves and not our children and not others. That's a cross we all have to bear, and we have to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Christ. You want to be a good parent? Start by taking up the cross of Christ and denying yourself. Looking for the will of God in your life and obeying that will. Yeah. And then that will have influence on your children. I think Hezekiah got caught up with himself and didn't realize these things. Another example, 1 Samuel chapter 2, Eli. This is probably more notorious. Verse 29, wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Here's Eli allowing his children to behave themselves unseemly, unrighteously, forgetting about the will of God. Because there are extremes. There are those that neglect their children to their peril. And then there are those that make children almost gods, where they're the priority. And there always has to be a balance, brethren. We can't make our children gods where they're the priority, nor shall we neglect our children where they're not even mentioned. There has to be a balance. God is the priority. And if we put God first in our lives and make Him the priority, that should have an effect on our children. So what's happening in Eli's life? He's overlooking the faults of his children. He's not willing to discipline his children. And that had consequences on him. It had consequences on his children. In our generation, look, how many parents are cursing and cussing out the teachers because the teachers dared correct their child? Had you corrected your child, the teacher probably wouldn't have had to do it. Yeah. I happen to have some teachers in my family, and it's horror stories. It's horror stories what's going on with the parents. Because they think their children are, you know, sinless, without fault. And that's not the case. And the reason I'm expending this amount of effort to lay the foundation that children are an heritage of the Lord and the fruit of the womb is His reward is because I want you to understand that God gave us these children. And therefore, we have to raise them as God would have us to do, and not according to our own preconceived ideas. or perceptions. My little Johnny. Well, your little Johnny's a demon and needs some discipline. He's a rebel just like you are. And teachers know a lot about parents just by watching their children. A teacher can tell you how much time parents spend with their child. Because children are coming into schools, they don't know how to speak properly, some of them don't even know their name, they don't know how to write, they don't know how to read, they don't know how to tell the difference in colors. There's things that they're having to teach because the parents didn't spend time with their children. And then we talk about, you know, children not knowing how to sit still. Children not knowing what the word no means. Where does that come from? It comes from 5-6 years of parents neglecting their children and not teaching them. And it spills over into the school system. Who's to blame? The school system? The parents. We got a whole society now of people that don't know the difference between right and wrong. Who's to blame? We got people coming up into school systems not believing in God. Who's to blame? If not the parents. All right. There's probably lots more examples in the Bible where we can see that parents failed, and because of their failure, it had influence on the children. We need to be aware of that. And we need to go to God and pray that God would have mercy upon us and help us to be good servants so that our children can walk in the integrity of God and in the will of God. Amen. Look in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I think that the raising of children has to start early. I'm personally of the persuasion that it ought to start even before you're married. I think you ought to be praying to God that you will find the right wife or the right husband, and that your children that God gives you will honor God in all that they do. And that you would pray even now that you would be a good husband and that you would be a good wife, and that you would pray to God that God would protect your children from evil. It says here in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. There's something about starting early. And an old-time preacher here in this church said once, and understand the context, it's better to be holy than forgiven. Wouldn't it have been better for me to avoid those years of rebellion than to have gone through the years of rebellion? I mean, God used it, obviously. God's not limited. He showed grace in my life. But there's a lot of things that are still in my head that I did as a child that I would like not to be there anymore. And I wonder if it could have been avoided had I had godly parents that started early in my life training me in the Scriptures. You got Christian parents, you ought to thank God for that. You got a parent, you have a father and a mother that read you the Bible, you ought to thank God for that. Because reading the Bible will keep you from sin. Doesn't mean that you're never going to sin, but it will keep you from a lot of perils and a lot of temptation. So you ought to thank God for your parents. And you as a parent ought to be reading the Bible with your children. And you ought to start early, right early. Janice and I, we read the Bible to our kids even when they were infants, smaller than one you got over there. Yeah? Yeah, you say, well, they don't understand. Well, maybe so, maybe not. But it was good practice for us. And it was a good habit for them children to be in. We're training them to have good habits. And the preacher says here, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is a well-known verse. And verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Did you notice that from a child, Timothy knew the Scriptures? Are you as a parent teaching the Scriptures to your children? Don't cop out and say, no, that's the Sunday school teacher's job. Just as it's not the school teacher's job to teach your children everything, you have a responsibility of teaching your children. And much more so, the Scriptures. You have a responsibility to teach the Scriptures to your children. Timothy had a godly mother and a godly grandmother that had influence on him. You need to have influence with your children by reading the Scriptures to them. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 1, just a side note here. In verse 5, Paul writes, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that thee and also..." Do you see the generations here? Grandma had unfeigned faith. Mama had unfeigned faith. And the grandson had unfeigned faith. Do you know how important it is for you to have unfeigned faith? That is faith without hypocrisy. Do you know how important that is? At least as important it is to read the Scriptures to your children. You have to set the example. Your children need a living word and they need the written word. Not just the written word without the living word, and not the living word without the written word. They need both. If you heard me speak here about evangelism, the most effective witness is the one that is preached and lived, where people can hear the preaching and observe the living. That is a powerful witness. And that is something that you, as a father and as a mother, have an opportunity to give to a child for 18 years. You have an opportunity to live the living word. And what a testimony when your children can say, "My daddy was not a hypocrite. My mama was not a hypocrite. You might despise Christianity, but my dad was real. And my mama was real." I'm going to give you a testimony of a brother in Poland. Karol Czarnowski. He was our landlord. He had great influence in our lives in getting us to go to Torun. He came over to me when we were doing the Bible Project. That's where I met him at first, on the Polish Bible Project. But he found out that we were street preachers. Joe and I were street preachers. I think Joe was down in Łódź at the time. But I was thinking about moving to the next town. And he came over and he said, "Look," he had gotten saved like 30 years ago, 40 years ago, whatever, by a German evangelist. 100 young people got saved at college, and they were just meeting. They didn't have any really teachers, and they were fumbling their way, trying to figure out how to meet and how the church should function. But they got burdened about getting the gospel out, and they got burdened about street preaching. And he said, "We've been praying a long time for street preachers to come to our town and to show us how to street preach." Well, long story short, he said, "Look, I've got an apartment. I will rent to you as cheap as I can. And you come, it's already ready. You come, you street preach. We want to learn. We've been praying for a long time." So that was the influence. Well, Cottle gotten saved 3 days before his wedding. 3 days before his wedding, he got saved. And he was set to get married to a devout Roman Catholic. And he didn't know what to do. He decided, "I'm going to go ahead and marry her anyway." He was young in the Lord. He knew that he had the right faith now, and he knew there was going to be some difficulties with the various opinions on Catholicism. He knew that there would be conflict, but he went ahead and married this young lady. And she was devout. And they had difficulties. They had a child. And that child got saved. And his wife was very gracious. Janice and I sat in her home. She was the most gracious person I've really met. But she was not a Christian in the sense that we would understand it. She was a devout Roman Catholic. but she had tremendous respect for her husband. Well, long story short, you know what? She got saved. She got saved about 2 or 3 years after we moved to Toledo. And I asked her, I said, look, you've had all these preachers in your home. You've been so gracious to invite your husband's preacher friends home, and you've given them dinner. You gave Janice and I dinner. I mean, you're just very gracious. What is it that convinced you? She says, it wasn't the preachers. It wasn't necessarily, you know, the teaching that convinced me. You know what convinced me? I've watched my husband for 30 years. He was a praying man. He was a man devoted to the Scriptures. His faith is what convinced me, because he was real. That, my friends, is a powerful testimony. Your children are always watching. What are they seeing? What are they seeing? The same testimony with the young lady. She got saved because she observed her father. Her father was consistent. He wasn't just a Christian Sunday morning at 10 o'clock in the morning. He was a Christian Nadobe, 24 hours, is that right, Joe? Nadobe. 24/7. Yeah? All the time. We need parents. If parents would be like that, do you think our nation would be a little bit different? Do you think our schools would be a little bit different? Do you think our society would be a little bit different if parents had unfeigned faith that their children can observe for more than one generation? Did you notice that? It wasn't a moment of zeal, you know, like a revival meeting. You know, they're all excited. They're pumped up for a week or 10 days or 2 weeks or whatever, and they're really zealous for that. I mean, this went on for two generations. Don't you think that has a powerful influence on the lives of children? When they can see day in and day out unfeigned faith? That is a powerful witness. And Timothy not only had that testimony, but he had the Scriptures. And as I mentioned before, those two things are powerful. The living word and the written word. I want you to notice something else. Notice that there's no mention of a father here. And so things do happen. Now, probably the father was unbelieving, probably a Greek, wasn't a believer. I really don't want to go explore all that right now. I just want to point out that if you find yourself in a situation, maybe a divorce, maybe without a father, maybe you got pregnant with and the boy ran off, whatever. You find yourself in a situation that is not commodious, that's not necessarily the best. You can make do. These ladies had influence on Timothy, apparently without the help of the father, wherever the father was, whether he was an unbeliever, whether he had died, whether he wasn't there. The fact is, the Bible says the influence in Timothy's life was his mother and his grandmother. And grandpa and grandma, your influence is still valid. You still have influence with your children. Yeah? Even if they do come to you and say, your children will come to you and say to their children, I don't know your grandpa and your grandma. Because they're a little bit different now. Yeah? But you can have influence, a spiritual influence on your children. Is that true in your case? Is that your testimony? That you're having influence, that you're living the Word before them, and you're reading the Word to them, you're teaching the Scriptures? I got good advice from my uncle. He really encouraged me to read the Bible to my children. And I'm thankful for that advice. He said, you don't need to build a sermon, because I was trying to build these, you know, big elaborate sermons for, you know, our family devotion time. And I was just wearing myself out. I just couldn't keep it going. He said, just read the Bible to them. And that was just good advice. And so we read through the Bible probably once a year, just reading through the Bible. We even went out and bought, you know, through the Bible in 1 year. And they had it all divided up for us. So many verses in the Old Testament, so many verses in the New Testament, then in Psalms and Proverbs, and we just went through the Bible that way. Yeah. That had influence on our children. And thankfully, our children are all serving the Lord. Yeah. Start early is the point. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And that's back to the point, better to be holy than forgiven. Yeah. If you're not holy and need forgiveness, then take advantage. But better just to be holy. Don't get into trouble. Don't get into a sin. Avoid it. And you and I as parents can help our children avoid sin by teaching them the law of the Lord, by teaching them the gospel, by teaching them the scriptures, by teaching them the difference between right and wrong. Yeah? Children need a teacher. Believe it or not, they are not born wise. They're not even smart. They're actually pretty dumb. And they need teachers. Guess who's the primary teacher in their lives? You, Daddy. You, Mama. You're the teacher. Are you teaching them? Let's look at some scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verse 9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. Did you notice where God starts? He starts with you. He said, don't you forget, right? Keep your soul diligently. This is the order of good parenting. It starts with you. Keep your soul diligently. Yeah? Make sure you're revived. Make sure you're walking with the Lord. Make sure you're doing the right thing. Make sure you're submissive. Commit your ways unto the Lord. Yeah? Starts with you. That's what he's saying here. Then he says, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, and they may learn to hear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, that they may teach their children. God is teaching you some things so that you can teach to your children. You learn from the scriptures. You take what you've learned and you pass it on to whom? To your children. That is your responsibility. God gave you these children not for you to give them your wisdom, but to give them God's wisdom. Is that clear? Look at Titus chapter 2 and verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Did you notice where it starts again? First, their behavior. You have good behavior, then go and teach. All right? That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. A lot in there, we could probably park there for a month. Just teaching on that, yeah? But I just want to point out that behavior first, then teaching. Do the work in your own life, figure it out so you could teach your children to figure it out. Learn to obey. Learn to submit to God so that you can teach your children to submit and obey. Because we have a problem. We're all rebellious and nobody likes submitting. Did you know submission is mentioned a lot of times in the Bible? Submitting to one another even? We don't like that. And we all buck up. I'm not going to submit to him, or I'm not going to submit to her, or who is he to say that, or whatever. You know, we don't like submission. Did you know that we're supposed to be servants? There's a lot mentioned in the Bible about being a servant. Paul said he was a servant of Christ. Peter said he was a servant of Christ. Are you a servant? What kind of servant are you? If you're not a servant to God, then you're going to have trouble with your children. Because if you're not submissive, they're not going to submit either. They're watching you all the time. Look back in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Talk with your children all the time. 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart,
And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. The point here being, several points in fact, again, it begins with you. Let God do a work in your life so you can do a work in your children's life. If you are fighting with your husband or fighting with your wife, and that's going to spill over to your children. Work those things out in your own life. God's dealing with you. You learn to submit so that you can teach your children. Do you know what children require? Time. Time. Children are time-consuming creatures. They consume your time. They take a lot of time. And you know what we're prone to do? Is keep that time to ourselves. It's my time. Well, if God gave you children, He's setting your clock. Do you know the problem we have with both parents working? Children aren't getting the time that they need. I don't know how you're going to work that out. You can work it. In the old days, the families worked together. Everybody was together out in the fields working. In our generation, you know, dad's working over here and mom's working over there. And what are the kids doing? Nobody knows. They're just left to themselves. Well, you can't just leave your kids to themselves and expect good results. It takes time. And if I understand the scriptures, you're supposed to be talking about the Lord all the time. Amen. Taking every advantage. Taking opportunities. Hey, did you know what Jesus did to his disciples? He says, hey, did you see that widow lady? Did you see how she gave? That's how you ought to give. Do you see that? Did you see how she gave? That's how I want you to give. That's time. That's taking the opportunity. Did you notice that Jesus said, you see them Pharisees over there? Don't act like that. That's not good. That's not the way you ought to behave yourself. Did you notice that? You and I as parents ought to take opportunities. Yeah? Hey, you see that situation going there? That's not a good situation. And here's why. And then give scriptures for it. Did you read that article in the newspaper? That's not very good. And here's why. Did you see that brother at church? That's how you ought to behave. Did you see what he did? That's a good brother. You ought to emulate him. Did you see what he did? This is what Jesus did. This is what the Lord's saying here. We ought to be talking about the Lord all the time, taking opportunities. Hey, did you see that rainbow? Do you know where the rainbow came from? That's an opportunity. Hey, you see them waves coming in and out? You know who determines that? That's God that determined that. You see that canyon there? Do you know who made that canyon? God made that canyon. Taking opportunity with our children. Time. And I'm out of time. One more verse. Deuteronomy 11, verse 19. And you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. That's pretty much the whole day, ain't it? Yeah? Spending time with your children, talking to your children, communicating the Word of God with your children, taking opportunity to show examples with your children, listening to your children. Do you know how painful that is? Daddy, can I tell you this story again? With emphasis on again. Yeah, we read that story 500 times. Don't you have it memorized? One more time. And they say that 500 more times. One more time. Yeah. Children require time. They require us to pay attention to them. Children get into trouble because they're looking for attention. Do you know why they're doing that? Because we haven't given them the time that it takes. So, you want to have good children? You want your children to be raised up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Spend some time with them. It requires time. Invest your time in your children. It's worthwhile. Yeah? I know it's difficult in our generation. I know there are problems with mom and dad working. I understand. Work it out somehow. Go to the Lord, figure it out. How can we spend more time with our children? So if you're away from the home, then you're going to have to crucify yourself so that you can spend more time with your children when you get home from work. Yeah. Because they're not going to be out with you in the fields like in the old days. So you need to work that out. Spend time with your children. We will continue this exercise if you haven't been tortured too badly today. We will come back next week and we will pick up where we left off talking about raising children. Remember this. Raising children begins with you. I think that's the most important point that I want to make this morning. You regulate your life so that you're submitted unto the Lord, and then that will spill over into the lives of your children. If you do not have unfeigned faith, that's going to have a negative effect on your children. Amen. Let's take a 5-minute break, and then we'll come back for the preaching.